Are you looking to ward off ticks, fleas, mosquitoes, mites?
H&H Home and Hardware in Marion, Kentucky is your repellent headquarters. You can get these products with active ingredients, permethrin and DEET, and many other products for the home, garden, and for yourself.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Chris Evans, and I'm here with a couple of young ladies who are students at the University of Kentucky. I'll let them introduce themselves, but they are studying the tick. It's a very interesting story, and we're at Land Between the Lakes. We're on the side of the road, and they've been trolling for ticks here, and just taking a moment to visit with them about what their project is. And one of them is using this information for a dissertation. The other one is an intern. So we'll start with Anna. Anna Pasternak, and you are a doctoral student at the University of Kentucky, and you're quite famous. I've read several stories about you in the last few weeks, and that's where I kind of latched on to this idea of meeting with you. And you're on your way to Carlisle County to pick up some ticks, and we've met here at Land Between the Lakes. And just tell us a little bit about your story and how you got started collecting ticks.
Okay. So I did my undergraduate at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, and I worked with an entomology professor there, Dr. Kelly Johnson, and she got me introduced to insects and especially insect surveillance. And at the same time, I worked at the local county health department doing mosquito surveillance. And I had thought about graduate school. I applied to UK, and it was just kind of perfect timing. The state had wanted to start up a tick surveillance program at the time that I was coming in. And I hadn't, you know, experienced with mosquitoes, but had never even studied ticks before. So it's been a big learning experience. But it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. And I feel like, you know, it's something that other people, the general public, are interested in, because especially in Kentucky, ticks are everywhere, and everyone seems to get bit or, you know, knows somebody that has a tick-borne illness. So there's a lot of, I think, value to this kind of study in the state.
Obviously, and I think our listeners will be very interested in it. And if you want to know more, you can read our article in the Crittenden Press newspaper as well. We'll have some additional information there. I want to introduce our other guest. It's Rachel Brown. And Rachel, you are from Oklahoma, which is the third or fourth kindest state in the nation. We talked about this a moment ago. But Kentucky is number one. Verizon just commissioned a study. So sorry about Oklahoma coming in behind Kentucky. But how do you explain your interest and your role in this tick study?
So I, like Anna, also started with mosquitoes, and I got started very early. I got started in high school. I did 3 years of science fair projects working with mosquitoes, and then I came to the University of Kentucky, and my main project at the University of Kentucky has been research with mosquitoes. And then this summer, this opportunity to work with Anna and work on tick surveillance in Kentucky came up. And I was really interested in branching out to ticks because they're also an important vector, and it would add to my experience in arthropod vectors. So
a lot of scientific stuff there. Probably the most pressing question that I get from people, of course, I think I've told both of you, I'm kind of an amateur tick studier, researcher, I guess, you know, not scientific folks like you. But people always ask, why do ticks bite me and I'm walking through the same grass as my buddy or my little brother and the ticks aren't on him, they're not attracted to him? Does body chemistry have something to do with whether ticks will eat you or not?
It does. Ticks mainly find their hosts, which is anything that they decide to feed on. So it can be a lizard, a dog, you, your kid, you know, a deer, roadkill. It really doesn't matter. They find those hosts using different chemicals, and they have little organs on the end of their front legs that's called the Haller's organ, and it detects these chemicals in the air, and it tells the host, or it tells the tick, where the host is. And there are some studies that say, you know, certain blood types seem to be more attractive to ticks. People even of different races and, you know, males versus females. But, you know, a tick just needs to feed on blood. So if you have blood, you're pretty much at risk.
So if you get a tick on you and it sticks to you, I read a lot about this. You know, I think it's recommended that you take tweezers and pull it from the head. But, you know, 99% of the encounters I think that we have with ticks, we don't have a pair of tweezers in our back pocket. Mm-hmm. We're not going to wait till we get home to remove the tick. We're out in the brush somewhere. We get a tick on us and we pull it off. So what do you say to that? And what is in your mind or what's your recommendation for dealing with ticks that attach to the body?
So you're right that if you have a pair of tweezers, you want to grab the tick as close as you can to your skin and then just pull up in one steady motion. If you don't have tweezers, you know, you can use your fingernails. If it's an adult tick and it's big enough, you can really just use your fingers. What you want to avoid doing is irritating the tick at all. So don't set it on fire. Don't douse it in alcohol while it is attached to you. Yeah. Don't set it on fire. Don't douse it with alcohol. A lot of people like to twist the tick. And those methods may work. You know, the tick will come off. But one of the big issues with especially setting the tick on fire or with alcohol is that when you put the tick under that kind of stress, they often will regurgitate. And a lot of tick-borne pathogens, they sit in the gut of the tick, so the stomach. And when the tick throws up, all those pathogens, you know, the transmission is sped up and they're all into you. And, you know, you don't want that because it speeds up transmission time for the pathogens. Also, it's gross. You don't want a tick to throw up into you. So I think really if you can just avoid kind of the myths, I guess you could say, about removing a tick and just stick to grabbing it with whatever you can and pulling straight up, the tick will let go. You're stronger than the tick.
Now, do you recommend keeping that tick? I hear that it's best to keep it. That way, if you have some serious side effects from the bite later on, that you can take that to the doctor, maybe do some pathology on the tick or something.
Yeah. So certain tick species can only vector and transmit certain pathogens. So if, for example, the Lone Star tick, which is we were talking earlier, is all over Kentucky. It's super common. It cannot transmit Lyme disease. And just by keeping that tick, if you do decide to go to the doctor, maybe you've, you know, gotten a weird rash or you're feeling a little flu-ish like symptoms, you want to mention that you got bit by a tick. If you can keep the tick, show it to the doctor. Sometimes they can ID. If not, you can always reach out to, you know, a local university, or even the internet has a ton of great resources for IDing ticks. Mm-hmm. And knowing what bit you, you know, significantly limits the concern of what diseases you may be at risk of.
How many different kinds of ticks do we have in Kentucky?
I, in my surveillance, have collected 7 different species. There are several there are several species of tick that don't really come into contact with humans. And so really it's probably a ton. But of what I've collected, it's mostly the Lone Star tick, the American dog tick, and then the black-legged tick. But we've also found the Gulf Coast tick, the brown dog tick, the native rabbit tick, and then the invasive Asian longhorn tick.
China. They're from China. It's a China tick.
Yes, that's East Asia.
The China tick. Right. So, Rachel, here's a question for you. You're the mosquito expert in this bunch, I guess. Well, both of you have the background.
Rachel's the expert.
So just before coming down and visiting with you two, I was talking to a man who told me that mosquitoes really leave a whelp on him, and they're just a very irritating creature to him, and he has a battle with them. The bite and the irritation will last for a couple of days. But he said ticks, well, he can pull a tick off and it goes away within a couple of hours. And I'm just the opposite personally. I mean, a tick, I'll have a sore on me for 2 months, it seems like, that's whelped up. But why is that? And does that go back to the different body types?
At this point in the broadcast, the audio develops an echo. We apologize and hope that it's not too distracting for the remainder of the podcast.
It probably goes more to how you react to the allergens that are in the saliva of whatever bit you. So whenever a mosquito bites you, they inject you with what's called an anticoagulant to keep your blood from clotting and not allowing them to get any blood meal. So in that anticoagulant, some people are more reactive and have less tolerance to that anticoagulant, and that's what gives them a bigger welt. So I would imagine it's similar for ticks.
So my home remedy for ticks is to create a wound rather than a bite. I just scratch it down to where it's a wound, and it seems to go away more readily. What's your reaction to that method?
Scratching a wound or a bite is probably not very advisable, mostly because if you have dirt or anything like that under your fingernails, it can get infected, and then you have a bigger problem on your hands than just having an itchy bite.
So what do you recommend to put on these bites, either one of you? I know there's some creams, people take some of the antihistamine tablets even. What is the best way to deal with a tick bite?
With a tick bite, you want to make sure that you wash the area just like you would with a scratch or a cut, just soap and water, and then you want to watch it. A lot of tick bites, the area will get real inflamed. Sometimes, for example, with a deer tick, if it bites you and you end up with an infection of Lyme disease, you'll get that bullseye rash, and that will start at the site of the bite. So you want to make sure you monitor the bite. But like Rachel said, some people just seem to suffer a little more with insect bites and different arthropod bites. I know that when I get bit by a tick, if it's a Lone Star tick, I seem to have, a red welt for months before it goes away. If it's a deer tick or an American dog tick, you can hardly even tell that I got bit. So it does go back to, what is in the saliva of the tick, how reactive you are to whatever is in that saliva, and especially, if you scratch it back open, it'll take a little longer to heal.
Okay, so you're axing my method,
Yeah.
Putting a quietus on that. No, don't do that, right?
Don't scratch it open.
These ticks that we have now, you mentioned seven different types of ticks that you found. When I was a kid, and that goes back to the late 60s, early 70s, I only remember the Lone Star tick. There may have been some dog, are the dog ticks with the little squiggly lines on the back?
The dog ticks are what we caught today.
Yeah. So those two type ticks I've seen, I guess, my entire life. But it seems as though these other ticks, I do not remember what we call the seed tick, the larva stage of the tick. And it's my understanding maybe some of these tick species, maybe that are more prolific now, they lay their eggs higher up on vegetation and we brush against it, and that's how we get a whole cluster of them. Whereas the ticks that we, my grandma's ticks, they laid their eggs in the leaf litter, I guess, and we didn't encounter them quite as much. Is there any truth to that? Or?
There is a little bit of truth. Different tick species have different preferences for habitat, and of course that will go into where they want to lay their eggs. Some tick species, they'll lay their eggs in the leaf litter, and then when those ticks hatch into larvae, they will sort or seek out a host. And there are three types of ticks. There's one host, two host, and three host. Most ticks are three hosts, meaning that they feed on a different thing during the larval stage, the nymphal stage, and then as an adult. Two host ticks will share the same host and stay on that host for the larval and the nymphal stage and then drop off and find something else as an adult. But one host ticks, which for example would be the winter tick or the moose tick, they will, as a larvae, find something to hold on to, feed on it, and just stay on that animal forever. And that can be really detrimental to the animal's health, especially in moose. It can cause hair loss. And in colder regions, the animals need that hair to survive.
And we don't have any moose ticks around here, right?
We do. I forgot to mention it.
There are no meese. I guess you call multiple mooses meese because more than one goose is geese, right?
I guess.
No. We do have the moose tick here.
Yes, we have the moose tick. In Kentucky, it's more commonly referred to as the winter tick because it is active during the winter months, similar to the black-legged tick. But, you know, they don't just feed only on moose. They'll feed on deer, on bears, any kind of large mammal.
So the study that you two are doing, they're a little bit independent of one another. I think some of your work is independent, but some of it you're going to cross-reference your data, I guess. Am I safe to say that?
It's, yeah, the same. It's tick surveillance, but the thing that Rachel and I are working on versus my dissertation work come at it from two different angles, kind of.
So let's start with the study you're doing for the CDC. And Rachel, I think this is pretty much your study.
Yeah, we're both working on it, but it's primarily me that's doing a lot of
work. So when will you start to compile that data, and when will it start being used and maybe be made to the public?
So the internship that I'm working on, we are collecting ticks in June, July, and August. And then we have a few months to kind of finish testing out all the ticks that we collected. And our data is due back to the CDC in October. And then I'm not sure when that'll be made available to the public.
I'm not sure what they're going
to
do.
What do you hope to find? What is the mission of this study?
I think it's just to improve our knowledge of what ticks are in what areas of each state and also what pathogens are present in those tick populations. So we go out and we collect all the ticks and then we bring them back to the lab and we identify them all and then we test them for the various pathogens that we might be concerned about those individual tick species having. So I think the data from this will help us know what areas we need to be concerned about in regards to tick-borne diseases.
Of course, Anna, Pastor, you are doing this for your dissertation, for your doctoral degree. And do you anticipate this study being used elsewhere?
Yeah, so what I am collecting for my dissertation work is also shared with the Kentucky Department for Public Health and acts as the state's tick surveillance. The main objectives are to identify black-legged tick populations because Lyme disease is becoming a growing concern. And 10 years ago, you know, black-legged ticks and Lyme disease was not something you really ever saw in Kentucky. And that's changing as Lyme disease continues to spread and pop up in new areas. But we're also interested in just identifying what species are in Kentucky, where are they, are there habitat trends, what's their seasonality, and then of course, like Rachel said, what kind of pathogens are present in them.
Okay, last question. How do you avoid ticks? Now I know you all are trolling for them out here, and you want to find them. But most people could care less if they have an encounter with a tick. I know there are a lot of products out there on the market that have permethrin, and a lot of people swear by the old skin so soft type stuff. What do you recommend to keep these ticks off of you?
So you can use DEET is a good one. I prefer to use permethrin because you can spray it and apply it to your clothing, let it dry, and then you don't have to worry about getting anything on your skin. I know I've heard people say that DEET eats through their flip-flops, so I'm not crazy about using a whole ton of DEET on my skin. But permethrin works really well. It's what I always use, and I think in this is my third year of doing it, I've only had 3 ticks attached to me. And I, like you said, am actively looking for them.
And you can determine whether those active ingredients are in the spray or whatever repellent you are using by looking at the label, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, any repellent should have the ingredients. Permethrin is in a lot of different insect repellents. One thing with permethrin that you need to be careful about is if you have any cats, they're very sensitive to it and it can be really harmful to them. So if you decide to use permethrin-based repellents, you want to make sure that you're doing it away from your cat while it's wet. Once it dries, it's fine.
I see a number of products with different percentages, and they advertise it, you know, a higher percentage of DEET or a higher percentage of the permethrin. Is there any recommended value there to ward these ticks off, or does just a little bit go a long way?
I think it's 30%, you know.
25 or 30. I know 25 per DEET is like the recommended amount, but they do sell higher concentrations of DEET that are made just for like treating your hiking boots or like the bottoms of your pants. And that would be an option because the ticks tend to latch on at your feet or your lower leg and then crawl up your body. And then another thing that's just really effective is wearing long pants and tugging them into your socks. Some smaller ticks can get through your socks, but for a large majority of them, it'll keep them on the outside of your clothes, and you can see them and brush them off easier.
Forces them all the way up your neck, right? All right. Well, I certainly have enjoyed our visit today here in the brush of Lamoquina Lakes looking for ticks, and we hope you've enjoyed hearing from these specialists in the tick culture. Good luck, ladies, and I hope you enjoy your visit down in West Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
So far, so good.
H&H Home and Hardware in Marion, Kentucky is your repellent headquarters. You can get these products with active ingredients, permethrin and DEET, and many other products for the home, garden, and for yourself.